Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, this is Mish from Mish and Zach's Leguizamarama. Just want to let you know, big spoiler warning, do not listen to this podcast if you do not want the end of this movie to be ruined.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg, you're gonna fuck to this chicken.
Gonna put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man.
Hello everyone and welcome to Mish and Zach's Leguizamarama. This is a podcast where each week myself, Mish, and my mate Zach talk about our mate Johnny Legs and something he's done. Some sort of film, a TV show, whatever. Sometimes we talk about Ice Age, sometimes we talk about Pepsi commercials, and sometimes we get really lucky and we talk about 90s blockbuster action films, which is what we're doing this week. My name is Mish Wittrup. You might know me from Mish and Zach's Leguizamarama. And I'm joined, as always, by my very best friend, Zachary Ruwain, who you might know from...
Mish and Zach's... Recaps with Mish and Zach, the podcast...
Throwback, old school.
The podcast where you and I watched every single episode of MasterChef Australia Season 1 and... and slowly lost our minds because we knew who the winner was from the first episode.
Yeah, that turns sounds like out, a joke. It's not a joke.
No, we did the whole thing. We love podcasts that you go, that make you, we love spending over a year on a project where the whole point of it is you going, did you know that Mish and Zach did a whole podcast about this? And you go, oh yeah, that's great. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah, pretty much. And if you think that that's a really high concept idea, you would be right. And another person who thinks that it's an incredibly high concept idea and wants to spend their very precious time talking to us for an hour is our friend, the hilarious, one of Australia's funniest comedians. We're so happy to have him here. It's Christian Hull.
Hey, what an introduction.
Yay.
Thank you. I'd just like to clarify, I'm just going to take my sunglasses off. They're not coming.
They looked so good.
They did look really great. I don't know if I would listen to MasterChef Season 1, a recap.
I don't think I would.
It's like, oh my God, that's so funny. What a hilarious idea. Oh, it's how many episodes and for how long?
It's look, you're under no obligation to do it. I was at a point in my career where
you need to explain yourself.
No,
we really do.
Oh, we really do, Christian.
It needs
please
an explanation.
Let me.
I needed an outlet to go as niche as possible. You know, when you've got a following, you want to, I'm in a comedy group that makes a reference to Car City Ringwood in our Netflix show. I wanted to go more niche. I wanted to go as niche as I possibly could. Mish was, you know, in a point in her career, I can't speak for you, Mish, but I think you needed something similar. Mish needed something.
I had nothing. I was a fucking shell of a person.
Did you read like an article? Because niche podcasting is what they recommend. And you just really took that to the most extreme niche of all time.
Well, the way it was developed was, I think we've discussed this before, but fuck it, let's do it again.
Why not?
Zach and I used to live together back in 2010 and we really bonded because we both loved MasterChef Season 2, which was the 2010 season, and we watched it all the
Adam
time.
Lau,
and
then we, of course.
Sorry?
That was the Adam season. Adam was the winner.
Adam was the winner. If you don't know who Adam is, look at a photo of Zach and that's Adam. They look exactly the same.
Oh, my God. That's the best. Oh my God.
We all have
it's
our
funny
doppelgangers.
Because it's so true.
It's true.
It's intimidating. It's intimidating how much we look exactly the same.
Holy shit, I never put that together.
So Christian, we all have our doppelgangers. So I have gotten from some TikToks that Auntie Donna has put out with me in them. A lot of people on TikTok think I look like Tones and I. Right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I've also been told on three separate occasions by three different people completely unprompted I look like Flounder from The Little Mermaid, that fish.
I have to Google that.
Get a picture up.
I went on the Little Mermaid ride twice when I was at California Adventure Park.
Were you surprised to see me there?
I'm looking at a picture of a real flounder right now. And you don't.
I look more like a bass. Who's yours, Christian? Who's your doppelganger? Who do you get?
Don't laugh. Don't laugh at I agree with this. I've been told so many times that I look like Mark Wahlberg. Right, let me just
pause. Yeah, man. I see it, though.
I reckon I do. I've got the same facial structure. I've just eaten a bit more.
No, that's absolutely fair, because I get chubby Steve Buscemi, I get Adam Lau, and I also get Brad Pitt. So I'm feeling it, man. I get Brad Pitt all the time.
Are you taking the piss?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm sorry.
Adam Lau
I'm
part.
I'm not even joking. Don't take this away from me.
No, look, I see it, Christian. You're both white. You're both brunettes.
So, okay, all right. But just promise me that at some point you will do a sketch where you play Tones and I.
Well, I think that, yeah, I think that's going to happen. I just thought it was so funny, the amount of people who are like, oh, my God, is that
you
Tones
are,
and
though.
I?
You could go, if there was a Tones and I concert, you could, like, dress up as her and see how many people you fool.
I thought for a while I could go down Byron Bay and do some busking, which is where she started, and see how much money I could make. Just being
so
like,
funny.
I'm Tones and that? I. You know? No, I can't sing at all.
Okay.
I'd be screwed.
I just Googled a picture of Mark Wahlberg because I realised he's got one of those faces that I don't really, like, look at. You have a lot of Mark Wahlberg going on.
Let me pull one up. I need to.
You've got the same eye, like exactly the same eyes as Mark Wahlberg. It's amazing.
To be honest, Christian, you do look a lot like a lot of the guys I used to go on dates with from Hinge.
Oh.
Like, you were, to be honest, my target demographic. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just putting
that
out there.
I'll take my shirt off.
Please. Okay, I've got a picture of Mark up as well. And
you
okay.
Got the nude one up?
Not a neck, not a naked one. But I look, like, I'm just going to hold that up to the screen. Sure, that could be you.
Okay, don't take that tone.
Tones and I.
Very good. Okay.
At the end of the day, Zach looks like Adam from season 2 of MasterChef.
Oh, my God, I cannot even tell you. Identical.
Yeah, it's very good. So any of our international listeners who don't know what we're talking about, just look up Adam, MasterChef Australia season 2, and just marvel at what we found, because it's very true. He does.
I'm looking at a lot of pictures of Mark Wahlberg now. Goodness,
careful,
me.
You'll go down a rabbit hole. Yeah. He hasn't aged, and he went hot, then average, then super hot again.
But have you guys heard of his fucked up daily routine?
Oh,
have you ever seen that?
What, 20 push-ups and then 500 kilometers?
No, it's absolutely the most delicious thing. He released it on social media or something, and it's fucked. It's like 3 a.m., wake up. 3:30, wait, it gets fucked, more fucked. 3:30, workout. 4:30, eat a steak. 5:30, yoga. 6 o'clock, freeze myself. he goes into like a cryogenic freezing device.
Oh, this
freeze myself. From 7 till 10.
Okay, work. Are you Googling this, or do you just know this off the top of your head?
I just know this off the top of my head. I was obsessed with it.
What?
And then
oh my God.
11 o'clock. Do you have it?
I've just pulled it up. I thought you were joking with the freeze myself.
No, he freezes himself.
You were joking with the freeze myself.
Goes into a fridge or something.
This is literally what he shared on social media. He might have been fucking with us, but at 47 to have a body like that, I have to believe this. Mm-hmm. Typical daily schedule, 2:30 a.m., 2:30 a.m., wake up, 2:45 a.m., prayer time, 3:15 a.m., breakfast, 3:40 to 5:15 a.m., workout, 5:30, post-workout meal, 6 a.m. shower, 7:30 golf, 8 snack, 9:30 a.m. cryo chamber recovery.
Which is freezing himself.
Which is freezing himself. I believe you're absolutely right there, Mish. Then he has a snack, some family time, meeting, work calls, lunch, meetings, work calls.
I just love that after he freezes himself, he's like, oh, I better go have a snack. I'm a bit peckish after all that freezing of myself.
His workout number two is an hour. He works out in the afternoon for an hour as like a little pick-me-up. Like that is his walk the dog. You know what I mean?
I get mad when I go to the supermarket and there's like, it's two levels and I have to go up.
Oh, God.
Like I get mad about
what
that.
What a punish. It's such a punish.
It's such a punish. Like I hear about people who do two workouts a day. Or like my housemate does F45 where you just go and you like punish yourself for like an hour.
For 45 minutes, hence the name, but yes.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, and I hear about all those stories, and I'm just like, how the fuck do you manage? Like, I genuinely get shitty when I go to a restaurant and to get there I have to walk upstairs.
Oh, a ramp.
A ramp.
If I have to stand up from my seat, I'm already like, to stand up, do you like, when you stand up, you're like, it's like I've just run 100 metres.
I have to prepare myself for it. Like, and if I have to get up, I'm like, all right, well, I've got to get up in 30 seconds. Here we go.
Sometimes I'll be filming something like if I'm like, oh, quick, I'll film this. And because the phone is right in front of my mouth and if it's quiet, all you can hear is and I'm like, oh, my God, I wasn't even, like, moving. I'm so unfit and the heavy breathing, it's really uncomfortable.
I'm a big walker. I walk everywhere, right?
All right.
I work from 8. No, this is my
Lance
point.
All right, Lance Armstrong. Come on.
No, this is the point, right? Because I don't have my license, this is not like a moment of I don't drive, so I walk everywhere. So the biggest thing that happened for me in lockdown, because we live in Australia and we're very lucky, the worst thing was I had no B. I was at point A and I had no point B to go to. So I just stopped walking because I don't walk for the sake of walking. I walk from A to B.
Yeah.
And I've never been so unfit in my life. Like I've never experienced just like this level. I've always had like a base level of, well, I walk everywhere. That's at the very least where I'm at. And it's just like, the idea of just horrible. Like, like my phone is about to run out of battery. It's all I've got, but my charger is upstairs. So I might just let my phone die and just sit in silence for a half hour rather than walk up the stairs.
So good.
But how good is sitting in silence?
Oh, my goodness.
Nice. Oh. Or in that case, you think to yourself, all right, well, my charger's upstairs. What is it that I can do upstairs for like an hour? Because I'm up there, I'm sitting on my bed while my phone charges.
Lying down.
Because I need to recover from the walk.
Yes. Well, I just bought my first place. Hello,
congratulations! Doing well. Hello,
and the
hello,
criteria hello, was stop it in Brisbane. So it's obviously it's cheap. I just want to. Okay, I mean I'm doing all right for myself, but okay, great. But my criteria was the same criteria when my parents sold their house, which was two stories, because they're like in the crypt, and their criteria was no stairs, all flat.
Yeah,
and then I was like, well, that's genius. And then, but I can't tell you, when I lived in Melbourne, I had like four sets of stairs I had to walk up and then I had to walk down some stairs to get into mine. Just how amazing it is to not move.
To not worry about it.
To not have to consider
stairs in your life. My mum lives in a one story now. My partner lives in a one story. I live in a single story. I'm great. I don't have stairs anymore.
Don't you worry though? Like I'm like, is this going to put me in an early grave? Like,
oh
I'm
yeah, I so worry. I worry all the time.
Yeah. Oh, constantly worried.
Kristen,
I think Marvelous Creations are sending me more to that. That Marvelous Creations is the bucket of salt I put on everything is probably more of a worry.
I've become addicted to soy sauce and fish sauce, which is just liquid salt.
Yeah, oh, yes. My God. I recently bought salt-free soy sauce. And because I was like,
so bad.
Well, I bought it because I was like, oh, that'll be better for when I add it to ingredients. Yeah. But now I literally just have soy sauce in one hand and the salt in the other.
Like, those things are fucked. When they're like, oh, here's salt-free soy sauce. It tastes just like soy sauce. No, it doesn't. Yeah. And it's exactly the same as like when people are like, oh, you don't need to use sugar to sweeten this. Use maple syrup. It just makes everything taste like a pancake. Like, it's not like it's sugar. It just makes everything taste like a pancake. And if someone's like, oh, if you don't want to use sugar as your base for this cake, use dates. I don't want to use dates, cunt. I want to use sugar.
Well, they come out with this, you should use this substitute, chemical D15. It's great. You're like,
yummy.
I feel like this is going to cause more problems down the line.
Wait, by the way, check this out. Check what I'm about to do. Talking about being really fit. We might not be, but Bruce Willis sure is. That was a really good segue. That was a
great segue.
I did a segue.
Wait, no, I've got a better one. When I die, I want to die hard from sodium.
That's good. That's really good. That's great. Really good. Zach,
your turn. I'm willing you to come up with a good one.
Oh God, you're good. This is why you own a house.
You two are so funny, but really, we're here to talk about Die Hard 2.
Good. All right.
Considering one of us is the Netflix special?
Yeah. That's shocking.
Ironic.
Considering you've had such a shocking month, like a really stressful month, Zach. I'm going to let that one slide.
It's been a wonderful month. Netflix show. Any complaining about the promo was entirely a personal conversation. I love talking to the Murdoch press about my inspirations.
Do we have to timestamp this?
No, not at all.
Okay, sick. I just wanted to remind you, Zach, that we have committed to 3 years of this podcast. So work on your segues, please. That's your homework.
That's my homework.
For the Christmas break. Speaking of Christmas, let's talk about a Christmas movie.
How in God's name did this become a Christmas film?
Because at the end it says, "Have a Merry Christmas, Christian."
Because it's set during Christmas.
There's a couple of trees.
I saw a TikTok the other day that was like, this is not a Christmas film. They were like, and they broke it down. They were like, just because it's set during Christmas does not make it a Christmas film. A Christmas film needs a redemption arc. They were like, that's the defining feature of a Christmas film, is a redemption arc. And I was like, that is a great theory that we maybe can discuss after I do my poorly written introduction.
Okay. Yes, please.
We should tell you, Christian, we got one DM saying Mish's introductions are better than mine. So now Mish is like making it a part of the folklore that I'm bad at.
100% of the people fighting with
100% of our listeners think Zach sucks at doing the blurb. So
the comment came from Zach.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to do these anymore.
Yeah, I just created a fake account. Mish, you should do all the introductions. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. All right. Die Hard 2 is a 1990 American action thriller film. That's a pretty good blurb.
So far, so good. Yeah.
It tells the story of John McClane, the unluckiest man in the entire world. Exactly 2 years after taking out an entire tower of terrorists, John is waiting at an airport, waiting for his wife, when he coincidentally bumps into a terrorist who has devised an evil plan, coincidentally involving the plane his wife is on, who is coincidentally sitting across from some skeevy guy from the first movie, who coincidentally knows a guy on the plane who coincidentally has a radio that picks up on the terrorist plan. They all work together to stop the terrorists. John has one line in it. He plays a terrorist who says, "All systems tapped, Colonel," then drives in a snowmobile, then gets killed by Bruce Willis.
That's good.
Was that the official?
Yeah, yes. I copy-pasted that from
that's from the back of the DVD.
It's so spot on.
Yeah. It's very accurate.
Yeah. Okay.
If you get the back of the VHS tape, it says that exactly.
Did you ever get... Sorry, this I'm really sidetracking here.
Christian. Christian.
Great, I love that. So my dad used to work for Qantas, and he would go and he would bring back pirated DVDs, and my favourite thing was to read the back of them because it was just a collection of words. It was never, it had nothing to ever do. And sometimes it was like you get Babe, Pig in the City, and then the blurb would be from The Matrix.
Oh, so good.
It was just so funny.
That's so good. I had the whole of America's Next Top Model on burnt DVD, and the back of those were Pride and Prejudice. Like what happens in Pride and Prejudice? And I was like, no. God, anyway.
It's a period drama.
I'd like to just state very early on that I fucking loved this movie. This is everything I love. Everything I love in a shit 90s action film. It's
so bad.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Yes, but Christian, that's the beauty of it, man. This is my this. You know, like how some people really love Marvel movies, right?
Yeah.
Because they can let their brains go to a fantasy zone. My fantasy zone is reserved for 90s action films.
And horny thrillers.
So,
Nish also loves horny thrillers.
What's a horny thriller?
A horny
thriller. Like Thomas Crown Affair or something.
Well, yeah, a little bit
beautiful.
More like... just like...
More like Basic Instinct.
Yeah.
More like a Fatal Attraction.
Like...
There were heaps of them in the 90s.
Like Dad can't hide that many porno magazines in his shed, so he has to be able to watch a thriller under the guise of the fact... that it's for the thriller elements, but it's actually because he's horny.
He has to rent a Madeleine Stowe film or a Michael Douglas film or something like that. I love them. But 90s action films, they're great. I love them. And I think it's because I go into a fantasy zone of just trying to accept that any of what is happening in this movie, it makes no sense.
Oh, God, it makes no sense. I just couldn't do it. I got 40 minutes, and I think I got like 25 minutes in, and I was like, I'm just going to pretend like I've seen the rest.
Yeah, great.
Because it's just, I mean, but to be fair, I think Die Hard, I think those 90s action films were the first of its kind, and then everyone copied them. Mm. So it's just every action film is the same. And I'm like, I know what's going to happen. I know what lines they're going to say. Oh, it's a classic terrorist, and then this is going to happen.
Yeah, but it's the original. Like, what I found was amazing about this movie. So I watched the whole thing, right, because I loved it. But
Mish, I do want to tap into just in this moment, I feel like in the spirit of Christian's honesty, I did watch most of the movie in double time. I watched the whole film.
What? If you watch that, changed the pitch and the tone.
Zach
with a bit of Benny Hill going on in the background.
Pretty much.
How do you watch something in double time?
You just select double
time. Is there a function?
Yeah, it's a function on YouTube. If you watch it on YouTube,
why is
that
even a function
for podcasters that have to watch a movie a week?
I would like our listeners to know that every week I sit down in front of my television with a pad and a pen and a cup of tea. And I watch the whole thing and I take notes.
Read us your fucking notes then.
I don't take fucking notes. I take this very seriously. And Zach messaged Christian and I last night when I was just like, oh, hey, Christian, like, just like, you know, here's the Zoom link or whatever for when we do this. And Zach wrote underneath it, oh, shit, I forgot to watch Die Hard 2. And I was just like, you're embarrassing us. You are embarrassing us.
Oh, come on.
You're about to say no one watches it. I do, Christian.
No. I'm about to say that no one is considering Mish and Zach to be of a high caliber, that would be an embarrassing... I would expect both of you to be like, shit, we've got a podcast in 5 minutes. We'll watch the trailer.
No,
that's what we used to do in radio. You'd get a guest and you're like, oh shit, I didn't read their book, and now we've got a whole what's the back say? And
did you ever say I loved your book?
Well, thankfully I was just a producer, so I just left that up to the talent.
But nothing.
Well, they always would.
There's nothing better than being a guest, because I'm doing the promo run at the moment for my show.
Yes.
And there is nothing better them being a guest and knowing they've done that. Like, it is such a thrill when they're just like, they're like, oh, you are so funny. My favourite bit is, it's like the top of the Google search. Is that your favourite bit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The one, like the trailer, they've just watched the trailer. They're like, I liked this and this. Like,
we are.
Have you ever like, try, do you add fake things in there? Pretend, try to.
Well, the best thing we ever did was actually, this is actually slightly different. It was when we were first pitching, like years and years ago, the first stages of a pitch we did for, like in the US, and we were going around and meeting people. We sent them our first pilot just to see the show. And everyone kept saying, they were like, oh, it's so funny. And they kept saying, there was this one joke I did in the opening song that they were like, that bit is so funny. And I was getting really like proud of myself. I was like, God, they keep pointing out this one joke that I did. All right. And then I was getting this big head. And then someone was just like, I think they've all only watched the first 5 minutes.
That's so funny.
And then Max, our director, in a really like quite important meeting with quite a big like production company, was all very polite, and they were like, "Oh, we love, we love the, we love that opening song. We love your joke." And then he was like, "Yeah, what did you think about?" And then he just asked, he's like, "What did you think about the bird in the last scene?" And they're like, "Yeah."
No.
And they were just like, yeah, good.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, no. Were you shattered? You're like, no.
No, I don't care. Whatever. Give me a show. Okay. You don't have to watch it.
Oh,
it was so funny. It was so, it's just like, but it's, because you get to a point, don't you, where it is, it's like, why are we pretending? You don't have to, like, you just got to make radio content. I've got to promote my show. You don't have to pretend to have watched it. Like, that's okay.
I've forgotten the celebrity that did it, but someone pulled James Corden up on it live. Yeah, someone was like, you've read my book, like you said how much you loved my book. Can you please tell me what your favourite part was?
Yes!
You couldn't do it.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh. And it was like this really like, ooh, James Corden exposed.
Could you imagine? That would be like the worst. If you were, when you were producing radio, Christian, if that happened to one of your acts, would you be like, oh, no.
I'd be like, sucked in. You stupid. You're like, come on, you're getting paid millions of dollars. At least read a goddamn book. I'd be like, yeah, good. Exposed. And then they come out and be like, oh, well, we can't air that interview. I don't want that to go to air. I'm like, well, what? Because, anyway, I go down a vortex of, yeah. Don't talk about radio with me. I've got so many terrible, terrible stories.
I'll add that to the list that Christian gave us at the start of things we're not allowed to talk about. Radio.
Just put it under the size of my penis.
Okay, no problem.
Big. It's really big.
It's just too much.
Under Christian's giant dick, I've written don't giant talk micro about penis. Radio.
Yeah.
So, back to Die Hard 2, which one of us watched. I'd like to tell you guys about it.
Sorry, all right. Before you go into that, I did watch
Christian,
it.
Don't back him.
I did watch it.
Watch it on double time.
I just watched John Mulca. Hey, let's see what we're going to get on the plane. Oh, my God. Hold on a second, get out of here. That's how I got the plane. Hey, you get out of here. This is my control room. No, people are going to die. No, you get out of here. Oh, got to stop the plane. Oh, no, everyone's dead. Hey, John McClane, maybe you have some ideas. Come on, join me. I watched the whole thing like that. There's some credit to that.
There were bits that I rewound and rewatched to make sure that I had the correct quotes. I was very thorough with this. But also, granted, like I was genuinely so excited to watch Die Hard 2 because I'd never seen it.
This is post-lockdown, so you had the ability to leave the house.
Oh, 100%. I'd like to make it really clear. After lockdown ended.
And you could have left like that. Literally, you've just been opened up to the big wide world and you're like, I'm going to spend 90 minutes watching this shit film and taking notes. Oh, I just feel bad.
I'd like to make it really clear that when lockdown ended, like everyone, I was like, oh my God, freedom. I went out for brunch once and that's it. Like, I haven't done anything else. I still, like, my partner's coming over tonight and he's like, where do you want to go? Like, let's go. I'm like, I feel like a quiet one. Like, I've had a quiet one for 7 months. Anyway, I really enjoyed watching it. I was so excited to watch Die Hard 2. And I'm really glad I did. I'm really glad I did. And some parts
sounds like
I watched
you're reading
twice.
It off a script. I was so excited to watch Die Hard 2. Who picked the movie?
I've seen Die Hard 2 a couple of times. I should also note, I've seen the film. Oh. So this is a bit of a refresher for me.
Okay, well, I'd never seen Die Hard 2. Okay. I don't want to take all the credit for picking it because some of our listeners suggested that for the Christmas, because this is our Christmas episode, this is coming out the week before Christmas, that we should do Die Hard 2. And I was like, that's such a good idea. And so we did. Cool story,
Mish.
Why
not Die Hard 1?
Because he's not in Die Hard 1.
Because not in it.
We have strict...
Oh, okay.
Okay, Christian, you're doing a podcast called Leguizamarama now. Yeah, and right. So we only do Leguizamo films. And because he's not in that, we can't watch it.
We can't watch it.
He's also, like, for example, he did like 18 episodes of ER, somewhere in the middle of ER.
Wait. I'm so sorry. I mean, obviously did a lot of research before coming on the show.
Yeah, that's fine.
Who is... Leguizamo.
See, this is fantastic.
But I love ER, so I'm
this
like,
is,
okay, so
fantastic.
I'm googling.
This is
I
great.
I love this.
ER.
Thank
oh
you.
God, so.
Thank you for your honesty in this moment. So John Leguizamo is the greatest character of all time.
My Google just corrected Leguizamo. Oh, is that not his name? To Lego. Did you mean Lego Wizard?
Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo.
Yeah. This is. I love that we get sorry, to. I want to record the video of
no, this
you
is realizing
great. Who it is.
John Leguizamo. Oh my God!
That guy.
Yeah. It's that guy.
Wait, I don't recognize him from the Die Hard.
Okay, because that's because
I only got 25 minutes in. Though.
Okay, Christian, do you remember in Die Hard 2 when all the lights in the airport went out?
Yes.
Okay. He was the guy that disabled the electricity. And he said...
With the other guy had the accomplice?
No, he was by himself. And he said something like, all systems down, Colonel. Except he didn't actually say it because, fun fact, that line was dubbed.
Here's the thing, Christian. I want to say you said you only watched 25 minutes through and I want to be like, well... You know, where was it at 25 minutes in? But I was already 50 minutes into the movie at 25 minutes in.
The movie was finished by that point.
100%. He was there. It's one of his first ever films. I think it might be. Okay. It was the same year as Miami Vice when he did Miami Vice season 2, I think.
I'm just coming to realise.
It's very early
what
in his career.
I'm such a huge fan of the two of you. Just like, I'll do whatever. No research. I did no. This is the James Corden exposed. I did no research. I'm just coming to terms with. So all you do is watch. How am I going to discuss that? This is the MasterChef.
That's why when you were so surprised about the MasterChef podcast, I'm like, why are you so surprised? This is what we do.
This is what we do, Christian.
I'm so sorry. This is so stupid.
Oh, that's so good.
This might be my favourite moment in our
John
podcasting
Leguizamo
history.
I was a director and you were just picking... Oh, holy shit.
That's so funny.
Honestly, this might be my favourite ever moment in our entire podcasting life, Zach.
Oh, this is so good.
So
this is great.
Of course you're doing this. It's so niche. It's even nicher than MasterChef.
We literally felt like we sat down after MasterChef and we were like, our brand, rather than everything that anyone had told us they liked about MasterChef, everyone was like, we love the nostalgia. We love your rapport. Yeah. We love what you do. We're like... It did well because it was niche. So
you've gone even nicher.
Yeah. When we got a when a 150. Yeah. Oh, mate, Christian, he's in, like, there's some that you would know. Have you seen Moulin Rouge?
Yes.
So he's Toulouse.
He's so familiar. Like,
yeah, he's in everything. He's in everything. He's Toulouse-Lautrec. He's in Romeo and Juliet. He's in John Wick. He's in Spawn. He's in Tu Wong Fu. Like.
Oh, shit.
He's, this podcast is.
I'm so glad that you did no research on this podcast when we asked
you. I can't express to you how many podcasts I've done this month where I haven't known what the concept of the podcast is, where I've been like 5 minutes in and I've been like, oh, okay, it's like a serious one. Okay. My craft is. There's a moment in, I don't want to talk too much about my other job, but with Artie Donna, there's a podcast that one of the other guys did, and they're like goofing it around. They're like, oh, and then about halfway through, they get a really serious question. They're like, oh yes. So the interesting thing about comedy and why we need to bring joy to people's lives.
They're my favorites. They're my absolute favorites.
Well, cause I worked, when I worked at Today FM, the three of you came in and
I remember
a chat.
It was
the greatest. Like that, just the way you did the interview had never been done like that ever. Because you were like, and then you'd run over to another microphone like blah 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 blah. It was just like 15 minutes of that. And the end, our audio producer goes, I actually don't think any of that's usable. And then, like, when the final edit went to air, because it was pre-recorded, I think it was, but was it live?
I think
you guys came in live.
It might have been live. It was very, like, it was, and it was so funny because that one was, like, I think we just, like, usually there's a tension when we come into commercial radio, because was that M. Risciano and Harley Brain?
Yeah.
Usually when we come into commercial radio, they're very, like, okay, all right, so you're...
We're playing a game.
Yeah, just make sure you try to, like, we're going to try and make sure we don't talk. And I think M was just like, do whatever you want, man.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident. And you did. And it was one of my favourite moments where I just sat there like with my mouth open going, what's going on?
Can they
did
be
Did you know who they were before that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was a huge fan because I remember because I was fangirling out and I didn't want to ask for a photo because I was like no one. At that point, like I hadn't really done many videos. But then as you were leaving, you probably don't remember.
I do.
Oh, you came up, you're like, oh, I really love your videos, great work. And I was just like, I literally just jizzed in my pants and was like, oh, my God. Like, oh, they know who I am. It was so great. And you were like, that was like one of the first, like, celebrities to say something any about, I mean, let's be real, and the only to say anything. And it was so...
That's so funny. That's so funny. Yeah, because I remember it was just really odd because I don't know, like there's this strange thing when you do online stuff and when you do purposefully obtuse podcasts about people like John Leguizamo, where you kind of feel like you exist in your own little world of niche, and whenever you go into old media sort of institutions, it's such an odd like feeling of like, oh, this is just a different way of doing things. And I remember seeing
it's so
you.
Different.
I remember seeing, like, we came in and we were doing this big commercial radio thing and then you were sitting behind a little desk. I'm like, that guy, why is he sitting behind the desk? He's like, you were doing quite well at that point, weren't you? Or, like, maybe not, maybe.
I had just started, like, literally, maybe. Yeah. Well, I was at Fox, but doing the Sydney, producing the Sydney Breakfast. It's so complicated, but yes, in Melbourne. And, like, I just had huge success on Facebook where, like, I found the Trish character with the blonde wig and it was just getting millions of views at that point. This is before Facebook sort of died and it was really difficult. But,
you were Facebook for a while. Like, there was this, like, you were Facebook for a while.
Yeah.
I was a Trish fan. And that's when, like, Zach introduced me to some of your later stuff. I was like, oh, that's Trish. But you were...
Funny. Yeah.
You were Facebook. Like, before Facebook died, Facebook was...
Well, that's where I got all my success from. I got it all from Facebook and I was clever enough to funnel it as that was happening. I was like, follow here, go here, go here.
And look where you are today, Christian, doing a podcast about John Leguizamo.
Yeah. Rock bottom.
And we're back again. And we're right back.
No, but like, what, how weird is it that I'm now on your podcast? Like, I'm just such a huge fan of the two of you, mostly Zach at that point.
Yeah, let's be honest. You wouldn't have known who I was at that point.
No, I did. You were... You
were in 99. You're
in
that
like
point.
Pretty much like 90% of the Auntie Donna show. I feel like you are. Oh. You're loud enough that it feels like you're 90% of this. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
And the aggressive character, your aggression. Oh, I just love it.
Oh, thank you so
you're
much.
You're so angry.
Thank you.
I can relate to it though.
I appreciate it.
Me and Mish are two people that. Are too polite in life and then just bring it all out when as soon as there's like something recording, we just become cunts. It's this like, hey, like, every
Zach, you're really lovely on the shows though.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christian.
You're a cunt at all.
No, I'm just being silly.
See, there's the cunt. Yeah.
She is. Hello. And in a proper cunt move, I'm really sorry, but can we talk about Die Hard? Sorry, Mish.
We're getting an in-depth, like the life, the process. I'm deciding right now that I want to go down a Marc Maron path. Find out what it is. What was it like when? And then, and you're absolutely right. We are tenuously holding on to our 45 listeners, and if we move on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I do just want to say one thing. About Christian. So I knew your stuff from Facebook and then we'd seen each other and then we'd like we bumped into each other at a few VidCons. And do you know what it was that got me like right back? I knew you, I'd seen your videos, we knew each other, but your Kmart video, the lockdown Kmart video is like my favorite video I've ever seen in my
Zach
life.
Zach sent it to me three
What's
times.
The Kmart lockdown video.
You did a TikTok. It's a TikTok.
Oh, the TikTok
the
one.
The TikTok. Yeah.
Zach sent it to me once. Then I was like, ha ha ha, that is so funny. Christian's so funny. Because I think at that point we kind of knew each other. And I was like, oh, yeah, Christian's so funny. Yes, yes. And then 2 days later sent it to me again saying, have you seen this? I said, Zach, you sent that to me 2 days ago. And then about a month into lockdown, Zach was like, ha, 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 how funny is this? I'm like, mate, you're sending me the same shit. And yes, it's very funny.
Just Thanks. Everyone I saw, I was like, wait. I've got to show you this 11-second video.
The world's best TikTok.
The world's best TikTok. And it was, and it is. Anyway, enough. Thanks. Sycophantic.
We all love each other. Anyway, Die Hard, I can't even think of a segue now. I was so good with my segue to start with. I can't think of one. We all love each other. But do you know who doesn't love Bruce Willis? Terrorists.
Okay, good.
Let's talk about that. I found really difficult about this movie was that all the bad guys and the good guys looked the same. So it was really hard to differentiate who was bad, who was the good guy showering bullets and who was the bad guy showering bullets.
Yeah.
Because they all looked the same. Yeah. So that was really tricky.
It sounds like, you know, like a year six debate and your topic is what's the difference between the bad guys and the good guys? Well, they all looked the same and was just really hard for me.
As the second speaker for the affirmative...
Keep going because I'm secretly loving this so much.
No, that was my point. That's all. Now we've talked about Die Hard 2 enough. We can go back to talking about TikTok.
No, Mish.
No, no, I'm sorry. No. Please keep reading your notes.
No, I don't even want to do this anymore.
No, no, no. I can't tell you how much I'm loving your notes. The fact that you're like, pause. The bad characters and the good characters look similar.
I'm not reading from a script. This is my voice. Anyway, I would like to add that... there were fundamental... Okay, tell you what. Give me 30 seconds. I'm going to go on a 30-second... I'm going to go on a 30-second rant about Die Hard 2, and then we can go and talk about whatever you cunts want to talk about.
No, we'll talk about Die Hard 2.
I really want to talk about it.
Ben Russell told me a really good fact about Die Hard that I want to share, so I got Die Hard stuff.
Nah.
No, you got the floor, Mish.
Come on,
mate. You can do this.
Okay. Another thing that really bothered me about this movie.
Christian's, what were you expecting? Christian's brand is Naughty Boy. He's the naughtiest boy on Instagram. And I'm easily impressionable. I'm going down the Naughty Boy path too.
Oh, God, I don't have a career. I'm trying my best.
Sorry. No, Mish, you're so great. Like, you are. Do you remember the show growing up? It was the Sunday program, and there was the movie reviewer. God, I can't think of his name. Big glasses.
Oh, Richard. No, not Richard.
I know who you're talking about.
I met him a few times.
Richard Wilcox.
He was the redhead man.
No, neither of those.
Margaret and
David Stratton?
No. Okay.
Margaret.
No. Hold on. Oh, shit, where's my keyboard?
A movie review.
Oh,
Perez Hilton.
This.
Movie
Australian?
You know him. Yes, Sunday. He was on the Laurie with Laurie Oakes.
Yeah, Mr. Sunday.
Remember like Laurie Oakes?
Yeah, he did the Sunday movie on Foxtel, wasn't it? Or was it not?
No, yes. He then went to Foxtel. He was doing movie reviews there.
He was also in Empire magazine.
Who is this? Who are you talking about?
You will know him.
Do you guys remember when Richard Wilkins announced that Jeff Goldblum had died, but he hadn't died? Do you guys
remember that?
That was very good.
Bill Collins.
Phil Collins.
Google Bill Collins.
Oh, Bill Collins. I thought you said Phil Collins.
I like...
Phil Collins. You remind me of Phil Collins. All right. Bill Collins.
Oh, I love Bill Collins.
And he used to come into... When I worked in retail, I was opposite Foxtel. So we worked at Foxtel. And he would come in and he would buy blank DVD cases. And he was such a friendly, lovely man.
Yes.
And you just remind me of, like... This is your time, Mish. Like, you are going to be the new Bill Collins.
Oh, fuck
with
off,
your
Christian.
Amazing reviews. And you've got the same glasses.
This is, like, legit.
God.
This is my 10-year plan. Like, my goal in life. It's like right now I'm doing Netflix shows, I'm doing comedy. My goal in life is to just do little introductions to movies. Just like, this little movie is a fun movie. I really love the way they're skipping and stepping. It's a great example of 1940s musicals. Anyway, here we go.
So funny.
What is it with you and niche opportunities?
Because
Zach loves a niche opportunity.
It's like a challenge for me. It's like, you know, I was like, I reckon no one was watching Sketch. No one was watching Sketch in the mid-2000s. And I was like a part of a group of people who were like, let's just invest everything in Sketch and see if that works. And it's kind of working. So now I'm like,
kind of working. It's like you have a Netflix special.
So, you know, don't doubt Leguizamarama.
Okay, fair enough. That's
we
a fair
don't
call.
Need that kind of negative energy here.
17 years from now, it's going to be a real hit. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Cool.
All right, Mish.
Oh,
point.
Great. A lulling conversation. I think I'll jump in there with a fact about the film we're here to talk about.
Just Christian's slow realization that he's on it. He's I've agreed to do an hour of someone's vanity project.
No, I'm like, I love this. It's just like...
Christian, if you could have watched yourself, the moment that you realised what you had agreed to do, it was the most beautiful moment in my podcasting career. It was great. Thank you for that.
Yeah. No, you're so welcome. I'm glad to be here.
A couple of things. I thought I saw Ray Liotta about 7 times in this movie, but he's not in it. I don't understand why there are 150 people working in security, but nobody was working in the baggage area.
Yes! Yes! No! I had the same thought.
Oh, now you have an opinion? Now you have an opinion. Now you have a fucking opinion. We can't
yell at him. I thought the same thing. They go, it's like the busiest airport in the history of the world, and then they go into this baggage room so easily, and there's no one.
Yeah, in like a
nobody.
Big baggage claim area. Yeah, it's dark, and they manage to have a 3-person shootout, and no one comes
and
no one came in. No one was there. It was absolutely insane. I also think it was really funny at the end when I don't even know his name, but the really chiseled terrorist, the main one
that was nude at the start.
Yeah, the one who loved
yes,
who had a real like.
And you could see the tip of his dick.
You could see full dick. Yeah.
Yeah, you could see full dick at one point.
He had a big penis.
He did have a big penis. At the end of the film, he goes out onto the wing of an aeroplane that's not flying, but it's running along the bloody tarmac, and he fights Bruce Willis. The entire movie, he's been shooting at people with a Tommy gun, but he decides to try and kill Bruce Willis with karate and a knife. But he has had a Tommy gun the entire film. The entire film, shooting at people. But when it comes time to actually kill John McClane, he chooses to do it with karate. That just bothered me.
The two things are...
Yeah.
Oh, now we all have stuff to say, don't we?
I've always had stuff to say, Mish.
Go on.
My big thing is like... With all action movies, but particularly action movies that are about like an everyman caught in a crazy situation. Like the first film, he's just a cop who's like just a regular cop that happens to be in that building. And I just love any sequel to a movie like that. Speed did the same thing.
Oh,
any
yes.
sequel that's like, wouldn't you just have one of the characters from the first film try to do revenge, or wouldn't you do like something around the fact, like around their newfound notoriety? But the idea that this guy on exactly the same on Christmas Eve has been involved entirely by coincidence in two like major terrorist incidents and like is the one that saves it. I love that.
No, it's so good. It's fucking dumb, and that's why I hate it. That's why, like, literally 5 minutes in, I was like, I already know what's going to happen. Like, I know what. There's no surprises.
But that's the beauty of it.
Two was the same. But you were just saying, why not take that character and develop it in the sequel? You know the best sequel of all time?
What's that?
I'm so excited for this.
Any no? Yeah. Miss Congeniality 2.
Wow.
Do you truly believe that?
I had in my heart, that is Miss Congeniality 1, amazing. When Miss Congeniality 2 came out, I was like, oh, not again.
Christian
but
Hull, make your
pageant.
Case.
Yes, throw it down, Christian Hull.
Make your
oh,
case.
Shit. I mean, it's not a highbrow film.
No, why is it better?
I now know how you feel, Mish. There's so much pressure now.
I don't need highbrow. I just said I like Die Hard 2. Are you about to tease me?
How the good and the bad characters were very different from each other and I could tell them apart.
Because Miss Congeniality 2 is like who is who. Like it changes. No, so like it is a next step. It is a chapter two.
It's
isn't
definitely
it?
So. You got the first, the pageant,
yeah,
and then she wins the pageant and blah blah blah. And the next one is there's a kidnapping where Miss USA is kidnapped and Sandra Bullock's character has to find her and she goes off on her own. And it's the sort of the characters are developed from the first into the second, and it's not just the standard beauty pageant formula again because that worked, so let's just do it again.
It always like annoys me in sequels where like the reset, we talk about this like I think we've talked about this on this podcast, but the reset where it's like everyone just kind of goes back to where they were at the start of the first film. Like, just it's like, all right, John McClane is now world famous for doing the tower thing. Let's make a movie about that. But now he's still sort of like the everyman. Oh, well, it's still sort of a coincidence.
If we take into consideration that, like, if we're really going to play the game that we're going to take this like it's very seriously, he would have lost his job in the first film and also probably be in some serious deep therapy. Like, he wouldn't be running out in front of planes and, like, setting himself on fire, because only a year earlier all that shit happened to him and his wife. He would be living on government
trauma.
Money. Severe trauma. Oh, yeah. Living on government money because he's been needing to – he needs to get compensation because he's dealing with a lot because of what work did to him. There's so much we'd have to consider.
That's the Die Hard 2 I would watch.
He's just John McClane in deep therapy.
He still gets like these weird nerve pains in his feet from walking on glass in the first film.
He can only sleep for like 90-minute increments.
That's right.
Yeah. That would be a realistic, but to me, it's like the way that people are allowed to take Spider-Man and go, I will let myself enjoy this film, that there is a man that can shoot spider webs out of his wrists and hang upside down from a building and make kisses with, Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah. To me, it's like that. It's like a fantasy. I'm letting myself believe that Bruce Willis and his wife, they're doing it again. I'm letting myself believe that.
Can I tell you a really fun fact? I told Ben Russell, who is a friend of the podcast, we've been making him watch every Ice Age film because John Leguizamo voices the sloth in the Ice Age films. So we've been making...
Stop it!
Yeah.
See? Oh my god!
Yeah, we could have asked you to do that. If we were a bit nicer to you.
It's the last dandelion.
Yes, that's him. That's John.
I know that only from TikTok.
This is why we're. Yeah, they love him on TikTok. Probably because we're too old for that app.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Really not.
No, we love TikTok.
How dare you?
We're a TikTok family.
We'll plug your TikTok after this.
I'm clinging to my youth.
I promise
you,
Christian, that when we get to the end of this podcast, we will plug your TikTok. I promise. I'm so sorry we didn't.
Make sure you tell them I'm 22 years of age. Yeah,
absolutely. We're so sorry if we even suggested that you shouldn't be on that app. We will be plugging it. It is a wonderful TikTok. I enjoy it all the time.
I shouldn't be on that app, though. I really shouldn't. I'm too old for it. It's weird, but it's doing really well. So I'm just going to milk it for as long as I can.
No, you got to do it. You're great. You're great at TikTok. I'm going to share your TikTok again. The one I was talking about.
Have you seen? You should see one. I did one at Kmart and lockdown and stuff. You should go and see that
It's so funny. It's so funny. Because TikTok, I feel like with that sort of, and in your world, I feel like you make a lot of videos and you're like, it's sort of more about your body of work. So the idea of me like just zeroing in on 11 seconds of your career and just being like, that 11 seconds, man, that's fucking genius. It's probably a strange, do you get that?
No, it's really not, though, because I've... sorry, we're talking about me again. I like to do that. Just steer the podcast to me. That's the one thing about TikTok is I did the paint guessing, which is what everyone sort of knows my TikTok now.
Yeah.
And, I'm the paint guy. And I've posted some things about stuff that I've previously done, and the comments are hilarious. They're like... I had a video go viral with some of the merch I make. I make some fuck off style merch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one lady was like, oh my God, you're the guy that does the fuck off merch. This is the same channel. You do the paint and the merch. She's like, I loved all the merch stuff. I didn't realize that was you. And then also, some people think that my paint videos, and because I'm hoping to do a comedy tour in June, they're like, wow, are you launching a comedy tour off the back of the paint videos? That's amazing. I'm like, no. No. My paint videos aren't that funny.
That's so funny.
Oh, that's weird. Amazing.
So weird. I get that sometimes, completely different level. But a lot of people, with me being in some of the Auntie Donna stuff, a lot of people are like, who is she? Like, she just kind of like was their friend. It's like, no, I've worked very hard for a long time. I studied this and I have been acting for a while. It's not like Zach got his old housemate to step in one day.
Last minute, we really need someone.
Yeah.
Yes, in you come.
It is a very funny thing. It's still that it's still that thing, isn't it, where it's just like, that's so funny, just internet.
Forever known for that one thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just be forever known as the guy that guesses paint.
That's so... No. Which,
they are very funny, though. Fine, I'll give you that. They're very, very funny.
I saw a video the other day. Broden from Auntie Donna, keeping it on. He shared. He showed us a video of Steve-O from Jackass. Just the idea of, like, when you say you're going to do a comedy tour, which makes sense because you play characters, you do jokes, you're a comedian. But the idea that, like, what is in a person's head if they think all you do is that and that's going to be your comedy tour? Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. There's this footage of Steve-O's, like, live special where it literally is him doing, like, it looks like stand-up that he's, like, just talking about, like, putting a firecracker up his butt, just, like, describing a stunt.
On stage.
On stage. Like, so then the guys, they put this thing on my butt and then it exploded.
Oh, God.
Oh, fucking Steve-O. I love him, though.
He's great. He's great value.
Oh, God. I'd like to just say one other thing about Die Hard, too.
Yeah, and then I got to say my Ben Russell fact.
Oh, yeah, no, go with Ben Russell first. Yes.
No, you say
no,
your thing.
I think we're done. Everyone
no, Mish, you go first, Mish. And then we want to, yeah.
Mish.
We don't want to come back to Buzzkill Mish after a great fact. So.
Oh, my God, I'm not a buzzkill. I'm just doing my job.
Mish, your facts have all been negative. I'm just going to point that out, okay? Were there any positives? You said you loved the film, but all your facts have been...
No, the reason I love it is for all the fucked up things that are a part of it. But, okay, Bruce Willis is hot. Yeah. Bruce Willis is hot. How's that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That, for me.
That we can talk about. Bruce Willis is hot. I've always thought Bruce Willis was hot. I thought Bruce Willis was hot when he was the voice in Look Who's Talking. Mm-hmm. I thought Bruce Willis was hot.
Yes.
Yes. I thought Bruce Willis was hot when he was in The Kid, if anyone remembers The Kid.
No.
I thought Bruce Willis was hot in The Whole Nine Yards.
Have you seen 12 Monkeys?
Back to Die Hard.
Have you seen 12 Monkeys? Back to Die Hard.
What's 12 Monkeys?
Have you, 12 Monkeys is about time travel and Bruce Willis goes back in time and then goes on an adventure with Brad Pitt. And it's a very, very weird film, but very, very good. Oh, it's a great film.
Pulp Fiction.
It's an adaptation of the French experimental art feature La Jetée, which is true.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wanker alert.
Now who's the loser?
Yeah. Mish. Mish.
Still you, Mish.
Oh, no. I feel like...
I love you.
I honestly feel like I'm... I honestly feel like right now I'm like a kid at school and like Christian's the cool
We're
kid.
Bullying.
And you've come to school and you're like, why are you talking about all these lame movies? And I'm like, these movies are lame. Why would you...
Let's talk about the French comparison to 12 Monkeys. It was amazing. La Jetée. So much better than Die Hard 2. I love it. I'm the cool kid. I spent my entire high school in the library avoiding getting beaten up.
I'm having serious grade 4 flashbacks now.
Oh, God.
Sorry. And you've done that.
I don't want to be the bully.
It's okay.
No,
it's
all for this. Usually we bully our guests, so I'm like all for a guest.
In all fairness, Christian, about half an hour into this podcast, I told you to go fuck yourself. So I think it's fair.
Did you?
I did. I did it as a joke, but then I realised that I probably shouldn't be telling the guests of our podcast that we forced to watch a film and then join us for an hour to talk about it.
Yeah, but I didn't. Like, I watched 25 minutes of time.
That's why I told you. That is exactly why I told you to go fuck yourself.
Hang on. You set it up like you're like, hi, we'd really love to have you on our podcast. We've asked a lot of other people, but we haven't heard back from them. Are you available? And you were like, the film is Die Hard 2, but we don't actually usually watch the films that we say. So, no pressure. Bye.
I'd like to make it very clear that I have watched everything.
And also, Die Hard 2 is not on any Australian streaming services. I had to get a VPN, and then I got Hulu. There's another one. And then it's on HBO Max.
Yeah, to be honest, Christian, you did so much for this podcast.
I paid a lot of money.
I retract my fucking you off before. I apologise.
Now, please tell us the next criticism you have, and then I'd love to hear Zach's
Ben Russell story.
From Ben Russell.
Oh, no. This is the worst treatment of a guest I think that has ever
occurred. Loving this. I feel like I'm, you know, in radio they have that person that steers the podcast. I'm like, all right, Mish, we'll go to you. And then Zach, we're going to go back to you.
Do you know,
how did you manage to control this podcast?
Because that's what happens. We actually, I'm not joking with you, Christian. We had a meeting the other week where we were like, who should we get on for guests? And we literally were like, we should get on people that will take over and steer the podcast because it
was genius. But it's you really not don't fair. Like doing any work. You're like, oh, my own podcast. See, I'll watch that in double time.
Christian, if you were doing a podcast on the filmography of John Leguizamo, you probably wouldn't really want it too much either.
No, absolutely. I wouldn't mean, to be fair, I wouldn't even start a podcast.
No, that's absolutely.
That's because you're a smart person.
That's because you switched on, you know how to find an audience.
The last thing I'm going to say.
Thank you.
The last thing I'm going to say about Die Hard 2 is that when a plane lands or when a plane fucking announces some bullshit and the people on the plane clap, I hate myself.
You don't clap?
Absolutely
I've clapped
not.
So many times on a plane. I'm a terrified, I have a terror, like I'm afraid of flying and not great when you're touring. And so sometimes when there's a little bit of turbulence, when we land, I'm like, we did it. And I quickly realise no one else is clapping.
You quickly realise that the person sitting across from you is me and I'm glaring at you, like hating it. I think when people clap at the end of a movie or clap at the end of a flight.
Jeez, Mish is so fun. You're so fun. If anyone expresses joy, fucking done.
I don't.
Don't have a bar of it.
I don't mind a clap at the end of a movie.
I love a clap. Oh,
and I'm going to say this one thing. This is going to be after the La Jetée statement, the Wanker Zach. This is really my opportunity to be Wanker Zach.
Oh, the man bums on, and here we go.
When I was making my Netflix show in Los Angeles, I would often go to the various historic cinemas around town. And one of the most thrilling things, one of the most exciting things is when pockets of the audience would like clap at the credits. You'd be watching a movie at like the Chinese theater.
Because
they're family or friends. Yes, so you'd be watching.
Yes.
And so like I watched The Irishman at the Egyptian theater, the Netflix film, and like they clapped at the special effects person. I was like, oh my God, that must be family because. Yes. Fuck, he looked fucked in that movie. They're all clearly.
We did that. My cousin did special effects for Harry Potter, and we sat through 8 minutes of goddamn credits. And you'd like we used because it's just full. It's just a list of names, and you're like trying to find. And there was other families waiting too, and so they would cheer. So then we were all cheering. We're like, who was it? And we'd talk, and then Matthew McCoskey comes up. And we're like, woo! And we knew exactly he did the digital lollipops that were floating when they go to the lolly shop.
Oh, that's so cool.
And when Hagrid throws the stones, he does the skipping stones. And so it was. But that's lovely.
That's
Did you
lovely.
Shush those people, Mish?
Absolutely not.
I thought you were going to say yes.
Yes,
everyone
no,
gets a shush.
I would not shush them. I would not shush. Because I'd know why they were clapping. Angry. I'm like, you're clapping for your family. But inside, I'm like, I don't like you
I
guys.
I mean, you would have left the cinema. Let's
yes, I would have left by then. I want to get to my car. I want to be the first out of the car park. I don't want to be stuck in there. I'm fucking out.
I think, Mish, you're talking more about, like, the Astor in Melbourne, like a screening of an old Quentin Tarantino
I'm talking more
movie.
Like Hoyts at Northland.
Oh. You're talking about Zachary Wayne. You're talking about all the little Zachary Waynes in the audience going, it was as good as La Jetée, in my opinion.
If I go to the Astor to see La Jetée and they clap, I expect it. If I go to Hoyts to see Tenet and they clap, I'm not happy with that. And I'd be willing to bet that our listeners, our three listeners, would agree with me. I can't believe what a turn this podcast has taken.
There is a good chance our three or four listeners are like Astor clappers. I mean, anyone who sat through some of my like wanker monologues. Like there's a few people listening to this podcast that like to clap, I guarantee.
But the difference between the two of you, just in the way you say, what's the French movie?
La Jetée.
And then Mish, like, if I had to go to La Jetée, I would just not be. And then, like, it's so bogan. And then Zach's just like, and then when I was sitting in the velvet carpeted Astor Theatre watching La Jetée,
how am I the one being bullied in all of this?
No. I don't have culture either, Mish. Zach's got it all.
What Christian is doing is he's identifying our dynamic. This is our key. Yeah. This is our key to commercial radio. If you embrace you're the accessible bogan, I'm the wanker people love to hate, we could get like some graveyard shifts on fucking Triple M. I'm telling you that now.
So we love to, we don't love to hate you. We love that you are.
Go on.
Do you know what I would do?
I just love how unrelatable you are.
No, thank you.
No, do you know what like I would that. Do?
No one goes to the Astor Theatre to see a French movie. Who the fuck? It's just a film. Film students do.
I'm the kind of guy that if I ever was on, if it was Mission Zach on Triple M, I would like feel the need every episode to be like, actually, I grew up in the country.
Guys, I'm one of you.
Actually, I think you'll find I grew up in the country. Anyway.
Putting the cunt in country.
So, Ben Russell's fact. Sorry. Did you know, except for the most recent Die Hard film, every single film, and I looked this up while the movie was playing in double time in the background, every single film in the Die Hard franchise, except for the most recent, was a redraft of a film that wasn't meant to be a part of that franchise. So the...
Did you understand any of that?
Yes. So that yes, one, actually, Christian, I did.
Same.
What? Say that again?
It's so the first film, this is a fact that's in like on like a show. The first film was originally a Frank Sinatra vehicle from the 70s about him going up, and he got first right of refusal. So when they changed it to Die Hard, they had to offer the role first to like a 70-year-old a 70-year-old Frank Sinatra. This film was originally a completely different movie. They were thinking of doing a sequel. They read this script and they're like, let's rewrite it to be Die Hard. The third film was the same. The fourth film was the same. It's always a different movie and they go, oh, let's just write in John McClane's character, give Bruce Willis $10 million and see the cash rain in.
That's so cool.
Isn't that a fun fact? Wow. Thank you, Ben Russell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Russell.
And while we're throwing out facts about Die Hard, I just want to say that Die Hard 2 made more than double the amount of money the first Die Hard did in its first week of release.
Really?
Yes. I just wanted to add in another Die Hard fact really quickly before we start talking about some other bullshit.
No, I was going to just go to the Leguistamos.
Oh, yeah. I reckon it's time for Leguistamos.
Now, we have gotten out of the habit of explaining what a Leguistamo is, but
I know what it is.
Okay, what's a Leguistamo, do you reckon?
It is.
Why would you know?
What's a Leguistamo?
Why would you know?
What do you think a Leguistamo is?
Well, it sounds like you go to a cafe and you're like, I'll get the Leguistamo. It sounds like a vegan burger or something. But in your, I reckon it's quotes. It's
oh, that's quotes great.
From the guy who we're talking about, the guy, John Leguistamo. Wasowski.
That would be John Leguistar quotes.
John
Leguizar quotes.
John Leguizar quotes. Yeah, John Leguizar quotes.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're not doing John Leguizar quotes. We're doing Leguistamos.
So Leguistamos is a rating out of 5 that we give the film.
Wait.
But it's not a star rating. So a star rating was how good was the film.
Yep.
This rating, so we originally just called them how many Leguizamos do you give it out of 5 Leguizamos, and then a listener came up with the notion that it's we should call it Leguistamos.
Don't you hate when listeners come up with better things?
Oh, it happens to us all the time.
All the time. All my greatest ideas are not mine.
No.
And it kills me, but you have to do them.
I'm actually quite a big fan that we live in the age where, like, you can literally just say, hey, I'm all out of ideas for content. Give me them.
Yeah. Tell me. And then they give you, like, the best ideas of all time.
It's, like, 90% of the time it works, and then 10% of the time you get Star Wars Episode 9. So you need to know when to listen and when to just, let the fans go. So Leguistamo is not how many stars you give it. We know you didn't like the film. The question is, how many Leguizamos is it? A film that gets 5 Leguistamos is maybe a
Moulin Rouge,
or Romeo and Juliet, or something that he's in a lot, something that has the energy of John Leguizamo.
A way of describing it is how Leguizamo-y.
Yes,
was
great.
The movie. So, yeah. For example, I'll give my scores so that you can kind of see. If we were giving a star rating,
I'm so excited to hear yours.
In terms of enjoyment, it would be a 4.5 star movie. Star. Not Leguizamo. Yeah, I'm saying if it was stars. But because we're not doing stars, we're doing Leguizamos.
Yes.
Another little fun fact about this was his role was originally a lot bigger, but it was cut short because the director didn't realise how short he was. And also his line was dubbed. And I don't respect that.
No.
However, Leguizamo's character is responsible for the entire airport losing all its electricity, which was essential in the story's plot. Mm. So based on how Leguizamo-y it is, 3 Leguizamos from me. Despite the fact he had one line.
I want to dig into the fact that you would give this film 4.5 stars.
Though. Yeah, 100%. So I.
Enjoyed the shit out of this movie.
It's a great
enjoyed
film.
The shit out of it.
I mean, all your facts would lead me to believe you didn't really like it.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fact that everyone looked the same. I enjoy the fact that Ray Liotta wasn't in this movie but should have been.
Should have been like this. Should have been Ray Liotta.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like he could have played any of the characters.
Any of them. He could have been any of them. And I genuinely thought I saw him 7 times in 7 different men that looked like him. But it didn't. It wasn't him. I loved that shit. I loved the fact that woman was like, do you want to grab a drink? And he's like, just the facts, babe. Just the facts. And it was that's disgusting and I love
married.
You.
He's yeah. I will say, in terms of star rating, I'm not going to give it a star rating, but it did suffer because I watched Fast and the Furious 7 again a couple of days ago, and that is one of my favourite movies. That is a 5-star film, in my opinion. Fast and the Furious 7 is Christian struggling with this. I think
what
one of the greatest films of all time. I love
from
Fast
someone
and
that
the
goes
Furious
to the
7.
Astor Theatre on the regular
to watch Jean Dark,
Fast and the Furious 7 is your top. What is it in your top 3? Or is it your top film of all time?
No, no.
Would you say top 10?
Top 10? Top 10, top 20. Like top 20, probably. And it's really funny because my top 10 list is like, it's like The Last Black Man in San Francisco, La Jetée, Joan of Arc, this brilliant silent film, and Fast and the Furious 7.
Sorry. Yeah, beautiful.
My favourite, but if like my favourite is, you're like, hi, I'm Zachary Ryan and my films that I love are La Jetée. Okay, I'm just going to go over here and do my comedy. Oh, blah, blah, blah. What?
Say that again?
Yeah. Wow. Fast and Furious 7, I could... Yeah. Wow, I'm learning a lot about the two of you today.
Thank you. Yeah. Zach, what are your Leguizamos?
Well, no, I got to defend myself a bit. We should wrap this up. But no, you're absolutely... But when you do that, when you do the screamy comedy, you go, well, I'm going to wind down to some wank.
I'm all for the screaming comedy.
But what I was going to say is Fast and the Furious 7 is the greatest example of, like, macho bullshit action movie. Like, it's so good. So fucking mental. It pushes it to such an extreme that
it's just exciting.
It's exciting. And it's, like, it's almost like I was thinking about it the other
day. It's fantasy again. It almost goes into fantasy
It's,
again.
Like, not set in our world. There's a bit where, like, The Rock goes... Daddy's got to go to work, and he uses his bicep to break the cast because he's in a cast. It's like the greatest.
That's so good.
But I also cry every time because the ending is so beautiful and so subtle and so well done.
Yeah, right.
Fast and the Furious 7 is everything you could possibly want in a movie. It's the stupidest movie. It's beautiful and tasteful. It's got its own plot. It is so extreme in its like masculinity that I almost want to develop a term for it. It's like whatever camp is for it's like the masculinity version of camp. It's like pushing masculinity to such an extreme that it's like, what the fuck is this film? Anyway, having watched the greatest example of it ever, Die Hard 2 suffers a little bit because it's fine. Yeah. Also, I watched it in double time, so I don't think I have any rights to say that.
I'd say so.
No, I think you do. I don't think you do. You should have watched it in triple time.
I don't think that you have a right to say that, but go on, Zach.
John Leguizamo is hardly in the film. They dub him over. He's very forgettable. It doesn't have the flair, the spice, the fun. It's a solid film. I think it's a really solid film. I really enjoy it. It's better than Speed 2. It's not as good as Die Hard by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
So I would have given it like a fine star rating, but in terms of Leguistamos, I can't give it more than 1.5 Leguistamos. He's in it. He's in it for like a minute.
Well, in your case, 30 seconds. Christian.
Yep.
So, Christian, based on the 25 minutes that you watched of this film,
I don't think you even got to John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo was.
I didn't even realise the theme of the podcast was about John Leguizamo. I just thought I was just going to watch Die Hard 2 and talk about it.
I think that's a little bit on us.
I kind of blame myself.
No, you couldn't have made it more clear, really. Even if you tried to explain it, I would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. I agree with Zach. It's 1 and 1. You get half a Leguizamo. Half a Leguistamo. Half, what's it?
So you're giving it half a Leguistamo.
Half a Leguistamo.
Yes, half a Leguistamo.
Okay. So
just in case Leguizamo sees our post about this, Mish, can you just do a quote, like in quotation marks, not enough Leguizamo in the post?
Of course.
Even in the image, just not enough Leguizamo.
I can do that. That's not a problem.
I think that's so important. So if Leguizamo comes across it, he'll go, oh, that's why they didn't give it a good Leguizamo
and
star.
If he's gotten through this hour-long podcast, I would like to just say thank you for listening to us. And also, you were amazing in ER. Honestly, that 5 Leguistamo. What's the star?
Leguistamos.
Leguistamos. Okay, 5 Leguistamos.
John,
this is so fucking niche.
John, if you're listening, I want to make it really clear that Christian is clearly a big fan. Christian's a big fan of yours. He loves all of your films. And he loves ER.
I love ER. ER has my favourite theme of any television show. Tell me I'm wrong.
What's the theme?
What's the theme?
Stop.
The theme.
Stop.
No, just hum it.
That's good. That's good. Keep going. I didn't hear it properly.
Do it again. The video there. This is great.
Wait, I didn't hear it properly. Christian, do it again.
You've got to get the start.
That's good, though.
Yeah,
really good, Christian.
Can you just Google it, please?
Yes, absolutely. I will. I promise.
I think
we're going to have to watch it eventually.
You've never watched.
We have to watch like all the Leguizamo episodes.
I think
like
he was in 18 episodes of ER.
Yeah, but you're telling me when you were younger, you never watched
ER. I did. My mum was really into ER because she had the horn for George Clooney.
Who doesn't?
So,
oh, I had the horn for Dr. Green.
Which one's Dr. Green?
You don't know any of these people.
Oh, Dr. Green's
fuck you.
The one
I'm doing a niche podcast on ER. It's my idea. I'm taking it. Shut this down now.
I reckon an ER podcast would do great. That's not niche at all.
Yeah, that's not niche at all. You're onto something there.
You had a Dr. Green thing?
Which one's Dr. Green?
Imagine Zach with no hair. It's literally and glasses.
Oh, wow.
It's sort of a bit.
Was he you had the horn for Dr. Green?
Oh my god! I mean, at my age, I had the horn for any.
I can kind of see it. His lips are the same color as his face. Like, you know, when the person has their lips and their eyelids and all of it is the same color. It's like someone went into paint and then just like painted
his
the whole canvas in the same color.
He had a great. He was just a beautiful doctor.
Oh, that's so funny. Like, I thought you were going to say Noah Wiley's character at the very least.
Oh, but yes, but Noah Wiley. Oh.
What about John Carter?
Noah Wiley.
What about John Carter?
Who's
John Carter's kind of hot. That one?
Oh, but all the male doctors were hot. Yeah, that's
Noah Wiley.
Oh, is that Noah Wiley?
From Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
Hey, we have kept
you. Of course you watch Donnie Darko. Oh, the Astor Theatre.
It's one of his favourites. It's genuinely one of his favourite films.
Not anymore. It was one of my favourite films when I was 12. Like, it got me. It got me in ways that my parents never could.
Kristen, thank you so much for doing this incredibly niche podcast that required far more research than you were prepared. We really appreciate having you on here. You are, and if anyone who is listening, for whatever reason, you don't know who Kristen is, but you listen to us.
There'll be a lot. There'll be a lot, though.
Where can they find you? You've got go to his TikTok, 100%.
Hansen.
Yeah, go to just Google Kristen Hull Kmart TikTok.
And then I will share TikTok, it. I'll share it. I'll make sure I share it when we post this podcast. It is the funniest 11 minutes to come out of
seconds,
COVID.
Seconds, 11 yeah. seconds.
11 seconds.
That's a long time.
How do you feel? I loved it so much. It was like, it was satire. You. It was sharp. I don't want to overanalyze it because if I talk for longer than the TikTok, then I truly there go to wanker hell.
But there is two Kmart TikToks.
I'm talking about the one where Dan's telling the one them where they can't go.
Yeah,
and
borders
she's like,
are closed.
But I want to go to Kmart. And he's like, yeah, very good. Very, very good.
It's very funny. Thank you, Kristen. This was an absolute pleasure. And when we get to doing ER, I'll hit you up again.
Sorry. Oh, yes. Yes, please.
Yeah?
Oh, no. Look, I feel like at the end of this, you're going to be like, okay, we need to edit out the following.
No.
No, we don't edit.
001.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, Kristen, you don't understand. You don't. Okay. We don't edit.
Yeah. Well, you have.
Neither do I.
We just throw them out into the ether and hope.
Yeah. Who has time for fucking editing?
As we say, okay, I think, to all of our guests, thank you and sorry. We're so appreciative to have you on, Kristen. You're such a funny guy. And yeah, it was great to have you.
This was really fun. It was actually really fun.
Oh, bless you. And you Merry you. Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, yes, Merry Christmas. Just fade the volume out slowly.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.